B-Pod Studios.
Do you guys ever have that one employee at your work that's like gloom and doom?
Because that's the conversation we just had.
There's another guy here who's more gloomy and doomy than that.
I was going to say, he's not even the worst.
No, he's not. He's not the worst. But, you know, it's good to have people that come in and
bring you back down to reality.
Bring you back down to reality when you're saying, hey, you know, radio's in a great spot. Things are going really well. The show sounds good. And
he'd have 20 things to tell you no. It's not good.
Yeah, and it's not even a person who's our boss. It's just like, you know, another coworker. Everybody's got that gloom and doom coworker, man. And did you hear about, you know, corporate? Like, for instance, I just kind of bragged about how Beasley Media Group, the company we work for, family-owned company, isn't in as much debt as iHeart. And the person we were talking to said, oh, we have debt. And I said, really? I just read an article that said, like, the Beasleys pride themselves on not having debt. Oh, they have debt. They have lots of debt.
Yeah, but he said we'd like to pay it off, too.
Yeah, well, at least we're paying
it off.
We're
trying to pay it down.
Not like iHeart, but
I'm of the opposite thinking. I say just rack up a bill.
Me, too.
Who cares? Let's see what happens.
Can't take it with you.
What's the difference anyway, right?
Right. If other companies can go bankrupt and still make it out.
Yeah.
Then again, on the flip side of that, look how many companies don't make it out.
I know. It's crazy. And then, like, you know, we talked about it on the podcast a little bit last week about our brothers and sisters in radio who, you know, our fellow broadcasters who lost their jobs. iHeart did what's called dislocation.
They had layoffs.
Was that what it was called?
They called it employee dislocation.
Yeah. Dislocation,
which
yeah.
Which is pretty cool to call it that.
Yeah. They laid off almost 1,000 broadcasters, mostly in smaller cities.
Some medium. I mean, they just have Pittsburgh.
Some medium. There was somebody in
Seattle.
Detroit. Like, the night person in Detroit got cut. It just sucks. It's just the reality of the world, you know. In any business, our business especially, the radio business is changing right in front of our own eyes. You know, we're being asked to do way more digital and off-radio content, you know, than ever before.
Hence what you're listening to.
Well, we kind of enjoy this.
Yeah, this is one of the things we love.
You know, and we also enjoy doing our Mock Made podcast, which is going to come back. But, you know, the blogging, my philosophy, they want us to blog 2 stories a day, 5 days a week, you know, for our website.
Yep.
And, like, my philosophy is like, if I'm blogging about it, I'd rather talk about it here on the radio show.
Yeah.
Or on this podcast. That's my strong point. Writing is not my strong point, but here's the reality of the world. Corporate doesn't care.
They're like, hey, you got to become better writers.
Exactly. Use a program.
I mean, to be honest with you, that's why I was like, when we had our digital meeting, that's why I was pushing the video aspect of it. Like, well, like, can we not do some kind of, because then that way, meaning you could do a vlog instead of doing an actual blog and you could sit and talk to a camera or tell, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think if you're not a strong writer, that's the easier way to go. And let's be honest, like, I mean, a lot of talent in this industry is not talented at writing. That's why they're in speaking forms of entertainment and not writing.
Yeah.
And we always kind of hoped, I guess, they would hire people to do it for us. Like, they'd hire like a producer that could help write, you know?
And we do. Like, Nicole does a lot of the show stuff.
But then they're like, well, not only do you have her, but she's doing her own thing. You guys got to do it too.
And yeah. Like, oh, yeah. And then they have corporate people that write.
Yeah, there's national.
They weren't even here yesterday on MLK Day.
No, but we were here writing.
And we did. We wrote. And you know what? The blogs that I write about, like things that happen, like I'll write about something that happened on the show, something that happened in my family. I blogged about snow hurricane today because that interests me. And to be honest with you, I don't care if it interests anybody else. Like, I'm hoping my interest catches somebody else's interest, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what they're looking for from us is like a personal aspect that nobody else can write about, which is cool. But 10 a week is a lot. Like, I would think like one a day would be sufficient to like say what's going on in your life.
Our man Justin just got a promotion, though. He's in corporate. He's a fan of the Manny, Roy, and Lorenz show, and he just got a promotion to being in charge of all
content.
Both offline and online content.
Yeah.
So I know he's aware of, you know, because that's the thing, too, is like I know how to – I want to make money for the Charlotte Beasley Media Group.
Mm-hmm.
And like I know how to do that. Mm-hmm. We've already done it once. We already like, you know, used our video last year. Our live stream was sponsored and made money for the station.
Yep.
And then that went away because –
Yeah, it went away.
Yeah, live stream isn't much of a thing anymore, but we still brought them money in that little time that we did it.
Right, right. So, like, we know how to do it. We just need to figure out a different way to do it. So, I mean,
the digital side of it's going to be constantly changing. It's not settled yet, you know? So the different mediums as far as, like, video and streaming and everything else, it's going to waver back and forth until it finally does settle down somewhere. But, I mean, it hasn't as of yet.
Yeah, yeah. You know, maybe your industry is changing too, whatever you do, you know. Think about other industries outside radio that are changing. Like, Roy, you do the real estate thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what's interesting about real estate is people want it to be more like an app where it's like you could just buy it, make it super simple. That's why these people exist where they'll buy your home from you, give you your cash so you can walk away, and then they try to sell it back on the market. But the point is that they still have to get it back to the market.
Do they buy it at your asking price?
No, they buy it less.
Always?
They're going to sell it for
They have to make profit
asking.
And they have to make improvements to your home. They have to do the landscaping and the cleaning.
Yeah.
So you get less money through that way.
But I guess if you have to sell it like super quickly, like let's say you just got a job offer in, I don't know, Manhattan, and you're picking up and moving, like maybe that is...
If you need to move immediately.
Right.
You know, and I'm not trying to sell my real estate business.
I asked.
By any means. But like, so to combat that, what I've launched is where I'll pay for all your improvements up front because I know that I'm confident in getting the money. I'm going to sell your house for way more than what you can imagine. So I'm confident that I can pay myself back out, you know. So whereas that's kind of my angle is fighting the people that's going to give you less cash.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, let me take care of all the financial issues you have.
Right.
Let me then sell your house, and then I'll take what I need at the end.
And you also negotiate. It's not like a, you know, there's not like a bottom line number. You can negotiate your number, whereas the people, yeah.
So, but it's very changing. Like I had a client who was moving from Florida to Charlotte, and he wouldn't even want to sign an agent, and like make me his agent, sign a contract with me. He's like, well, I'd much rather you do this. And then if I want to buy the house, then I'll sign with you. Because by law, you have to have an agent to then buy the house for me to help you buy the house. And I'm like, so I could do all this work and then you could just then walk in and buy it yourself and not use me. And then I wouldn't get a commission. That's not, you know, but they don't like to be tied down.
Yeah.
They don't like all these complicated contracts. They want things to be hassle-free, easy. You just see it, you click, you buy.
Yep.
And that's where that industry is going. And think about other industries that are changing. I did 911. I cannot imagine being a 911 operator now. You can text 911.
You can?
Yeah. Like, do you know how many people probably text 911 for being stupid, and then they have to, like, track that phone and follow up?
I didn't even know you could text 911.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you text back and forth? Is it, like, a two-way?
As far as what I've read
test
online.
It, right?
No, that's okay.
But, like, I cannot imagine being a 911 operator and be like, oh, got to answer a text. Don't know where they are.
I'm thinking too, like the whole car buying experience.
Yeah, that's all different now.
You know?
Yeah,
like,
isn't there like, what's that thing that you like? It's
Carvana?
Like, yeah.
It's like a vending machine?
Yeah. And there's like no negotiating anymore.
No, and you put a token in and you pay and then you get a token. You literally take the token and put it into the car vending machine.
I mean, ultimately, that's what I guess even the housing market will go to. It's going to be like, guys, everyone's commissions are stripped. This is the cheapest that we can. This is our number. Like, there's nothing we can do.
But here's the thing, too.
Is a secure, job right now? Like, what is a secure career?
Well, here's the thing, Lauren. And, like, I'm just thinking, and the reason why we're having this conversation, and, you know, there's really nothing funny about it, but, you know, our podcast goes where our brains go. I think somewhat everything comes back. Everything balances out a little bit. Everything returns to somewhat of the way that we're used to.
I think there is value in customer service.
Yeah.
You know, like I think that my real estate business, you get a concierge person dedicated to you who handles your call whatever you need. You need babysitter because you have a showing, we'll line that.
Yeah, it's like they roll something out, right? And everybody checks out whatever it is you roll out in your industry that's new, shiny, and people love it. Everybody checks it out, but maybe 30% of the people stick with it, 70% bail on it, and say, I got to go back to my old way. Like, I can't do this. But yet you keep 30%. It's like the same thing. I was just talking to somebody, Loren, you'd be aware of this. Like, all the F words, an influencer, like all these influencers. I just had a client tell me not too long ago that the influencer didn't work for them and they're ready to go back to traditional advertising, you know, to pay an influencer to come to their place and say, hey, blah, 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 didn't work for this particular client.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's just like caution in any.
Did you say cock?
Caution in any situation that you're in, because a lot of these influencers all paid instead of having an organic reach, like they all paid to have 100,000 followers, and then they're just getting bots when they are putting something out
there
for promotion.
The FTC is cracking down.
I know.
They're going after those people.
But that's going to kill a lot of influencers.
Yeah, right, which is good, which helps our industry.
Right.
Yeah.
Because right now in Charlotte, we're in an industry where with a new restaurant opening, Charlotte Agenda gets the hit,
right.
Charlotte 5 gets the hit, all these people get the hit. You know, and then, of course, we're there, too, as Beasley Media, but we're more traditional with a salesperson going to the store. And in the long term, you're better off going with us, honestly.
Sure. I mean, I think it's easier to buy. Listen, now, online shopping, I think, is different because you don't really go to the store and have someone who tailors an experience for you. You know what I'm saying? You're typically just picking things off the rack and moving on. But as far as anything else in the service industry, sure, maybe easier to do it online and it's easy to click. But I think there's something really nice to go back to having a personal mm-hmm. relationship. Like, in fact, that's what we talk about with Diamonds Direct so much. You have a jeweler. Mm-hmm. Like, you have a person that's your guy.
I completely agree with you. But I also think that there's certain things that you want to walk into a store and touch and feel and try on, like a diamond, you know, a ring.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Necklace or like a piece of clothing. Like for me, I'm not going to buy a bra online. Like I need to go into the store and try it on and make sure it's comfortable.
You got something sent to you in the box that was like ruined or stained, didn't you? Cigarette smoke.
Yeah. So I do this like online clothing rental, and somebody had rented the shirt before me, and being pregnant, I have super smell, and the shirt was in a bag with 4 other items, and everything in the bag smelled like smoke to me. I couldn't wear it. I had to send everything back.
It's awful.
Wow. Well, I did an article at Kiss 95.1, since you know we blog now, and it was from Jeff Bezos. And evidently, he does these all-hands meetings with all of his staff where it's like a big conference call or big, I guess, arena that everybody can ask him questions. And one of the questions was, what's like the end game? Like, do you think the question was, do you think Amazon will learn from companies like Sears that has fallen?
Mm-hmm.
And his response is that Amazon will fall.
Mm.
This company will not be around forever. We will go bankrupt. But between now and then, these are the things that we're going to do. We're going to overserve our customers. We're going to give them exactly what they need. And we're going to focus on customer service, yada, yada, yada.
Wow.
And it was very interesting. It's like, it's all about the customers. We're going to try new innovative technologies. We're going to try everything. But Amazon, what you see today, will not exist in its form at some point.
It's true.
And that's weird. That's scary to think
about.
But
see, I feel the same way about like radio. You know, everybody says when Sirius came out in 2006 and 2007, where they were like, you know, knew Howard had just come over, and then Sirius bought XM. You know, all my friends, the sports rock guys, wanted to know if I was scared of satellite radio. How is satellite radio affecting you? And I said unequivocally, like right off the bat, like it doesn't affect me, because when it comes down to it, my radio that I do is free.
Yep.
And when you're starting to do a budget, when the shit hits the fan, the first thing to go is going, your wife's going to say, or you're going to say to yourself, okay, I got to get rid of Sirius.
And Sirius is expensive.
I'm not paying $150 a year for
way
it. Right now it is.
Now.
The economy's doing well. Everybody's doing great.
Yeah.
But radio, this broadcast radio that we do, is always going to be free.
But it's different. I mean, when they, like, you know.
Oh, shit. This just in. We are now going to charge $5 on the MRL Show app to hear our content.
No, not at all. But it's different. Like the turn happened in like 2005 when radio started competing more and more with social media and all the different platforms, and that people, you know, they used to utilize us for gossip and entertainment and sleaze, and you can get that everywhere else.
So we've pulled back on doing the dirty on the 30 for that reason. Like, we had internal discussions, and we said, you know what? The dirty on the 30 doesn't need to happen. We can do other more fun content there.
Yeah, but I'm even like on a connection level, people would like do dedications on the radio.
Yeah.
And that doesn't, you don't need to, you could just hit them up.
I know, Roy. And then we do these,
music. Well, we don't really need radio anymore because we can now stream it, but we do try to make you laugh.
No, that is true.
You know, we're entertainment. We're a talk show.
Yeah. And I will say, the way that the radio stations work, like a station like ours that plays the hits, quote unquote, is that unlike your friend who gets into the car and says, listen to this song, you're going to like it, and the song blows. How many times does that happen where somebody forces their song on you? Like, I do a lot to you guys. I force a song on you and I'm like, you're going to love this, and it sucks. Like, the radio business has come up with a formula with the record labels and the artists to tell you what songs have already been vetted.
Mm-hmm.
So the songs you hear on our station are the good songs. You're not missing anything. You're getting the hits from us. Like, let that process stay.
Yeah,
we're doing a lot of the hard work for you.
We really are, through a lot of research. Even down to the point, y'all, like, so right now it's 10:46. And right now at 10:46 on this Tuesday, we're playing the Jonas Brothers Sucker. Next Tuesday at 10:46, we will not play the Jonas Brothers Sucker. And tomorrow at 10:46, we will not play the Jonas Brothers Sucker.
It might be 42 and 53.
Well, but it won't be 46.
No, I know.
Like, because we know that people have patterns and they don't want to hear the same songs. And so, like, everything is thought down to the minute and second. And it's
And then the record company, to pull the curtain back more for you guys here on the Rap Party Podcast, which, by the way, I'm loving this one. Is, you know, if somebody comes up to us and says, hey, how do I get my song on the radio? At that point, I already tell them they're way behind the eight. Like, you are so far from how the process works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you're talking
true.
To me, a morning show co-host. What you need to do is send your stuff to the record label.
Go find an A&R guy.
The record label will then come to the radio station. Like, we had Louis Tomlinson in. Of course, there's probably like four or five songs on Louis Tomlinson's album that we love. But the record label is going to say, but we're not releasing that to radio. Like, we're not going to give you promotion for that. Like, in other words, if you want Louis to come for a concert or something, you got to follow our pattern and play our song.
Right.
The way we want it, with our financial money behind him. It's really interesting.
Because they think those are the songs that are going to be most
successful.
That's the hits. They think those are going to be the hit songs.
Again, back to my point, Lorraine, we've already done the hard work for you, you know.
Got it.
So that's why I think, and I don't fear, that radio will actually die.
It would just dramatically changed.
It already has dramatically changed.
Yeah, you're right.
It already has. Yeah. The competition is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Where's that list?
Oh, yeah, our boss put it in here to remind us everything that people are enjoying, except us.
Radio, competition, people have options now more than ever, as you would assume, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the 70s, it was VCR, cable, the radio station, personal computers. This was the 70s through 90s, sorry. AOL, broadband, Google, Yahoo. 2000s, HD DVD, satellite radio we just talked about, HD TV, Facebook, Twitter, 7th generation game consoles, Apple TV, Roku, Netflix, YouTube, Hulu, smartphones. And in 2010s through now, it's like tablets, Instagram, streaming radio, Amazon Prime Instant Video, TV everywhere, Chromecast, wearable tech, smartphones, you know, 4K video, 5G wireless. This is the worst list I've ever seen. This is our competition? Anyway. But even like look at Apple, bro. Apple's getting into the streaming TV game.
How cool is that?
What's his name? Tim Apple was at the Golden Globes. Because he's got the morning show for Jennifer Aniston and all those shows.
Yeah.
You know?
But even that's going to really change because they can't have all these. You can't have 30 different streaming things that we all have to pay for.
I agree. This is the most annoying thing like in my life right now because there's so many streaming services that I want to watch stuff on and I'm just not going to pay for them all on top of my cable where I have at least in my cable, it's all encompassing. I can flip through and find whatever I want. Like if all these streaming services could get together and there'd be a master streaming service that I could pay $40 a month for and get all of them, I would do that.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, good conversation, y'all. I do want to get to something else before we get out of here, because there's two things that I want to talk about real quick. So we'll end on a funny note. We got some leftover text messages. This is so funny, Lauren. Twitter, you caught something, seduce me in four words.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a lot of text messages coming in. For Nicole, I know Justin Bieber. 980 says, use my credit card.
That's pretty good.
704 said, let's move furniture now. Let's see. We got an, let's get another dog. Would you like tacos? I'm a good cook. We got one that said, I love your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I pay child support. It's one that we read on the air.
That's funny.
That was funny. And then we put it up on our Instagram at the MRL show. And I don't know if how many more we got, but I like the one for Loren. I know Brad Pitt.
No, Brad Pitt is here.
Oh, Brad Pitt is here. Yeah. Yeah. Royce, what was yours?
I have unlimited wine. I do love it, man.
And mine, I like either use my Netflix password, because I hate paying for any of that stuff. Actually, it should be Disney. The Disney password we all use from a listener.
We do.
I don't.
You don't?
No,
oh,
I couldn't get in, but I'm into somebody else's now. I'm telling you, just be one thing, I would pay for it, but I'm not paying for six different services.
I love that one of your friends said, hey, you can use my password, and they give you the wrong password.
They ended up getting me in. They just had to reset it. It was the right password.
I like that. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, that's weird.
I was going to say, I like that I still use Lauren, Nicole's ex, I still use her Hulu password.
Me too.
See, that would irritate me seeing everyone else's suggestions. I have my buddy Randy uses my Netflix, but he created a different profile. So,
nice.
So it doesn't mess with mine.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you can do that with Hulu.
With the Disney app, did you see the one that we use?
Disney.
Amanda was going to make her own profile on that.
I made mine.
Did you? Which one's yours?
I made my own. It's called Roy.
On hers?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see.
No, we don't think we're using the same person, are we?
Oh, I don't know. I'm using...
Yeah, no, you guys are using
two different ones. I think we have two different listeners.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But no, like, it's all her, because she had all her kids have an account, and then I guess she had an account, and I was like, well, I don't want to watch things on the kids or hers. I created my own account.
It's Amo Manda, who's not my wife, and then M-Dog.
Is that M-Dog you?
No. I do a profile?
Yeah. What does it hurt?
I have one on Disney Plus on my friends. Actually, he made it for me, and he made the picture Maleficent. I was like, what does that mean?
Well, you know what? That is cool. I can control Randy's profile picture.
Uh-huh.
And so I make it the most disgusting, weirdest thing. I do. I really play with it. It was like this disgusting hippo's mouth that was wide open. Yeah.
As far as the Hulu goes.
I'm naming it
right
here, too.
I still use Lauren's as well, but I only use Hulu to watch Handmaid's Tale, and she watches it too. So the most annoying thing is that we're in two different parts. Like, she might be on episode 7 and I might be on 3.
So how do you keep track?
I literally put it in the notes on my phone.
Wow, that's funny.
Yeah.
All right, I saved my profiles. We're here too. You know, my family's also here with you guys. and then one last thing, hilarious things that people secretly caught their spouses doing. There was a couple that we couldn't read online. Here's one that said, I once walked into the laundry room to find my husband folding his laundry while wearing a pair of boxers over his head. When I questioned him about it, he said it was cold and the boxers had just come out of the dryer and were warming his ears. I was doing the laundry when I heard my husband laughing hysterically. I went to see what was so funny and found him sliding around the house with his feet in soda can boxes like skates.
Okay.
I once heard my husband in a heated argument, yelling, swearing. I went to see what was going on. I realized he was arguing with our 8-year-old daughter because the TV remote wasn't working and he needed to vent. And let's see. We read that one. I caught my boyfriend making vroom noises to his motorbikes while he was cleaning them. When I asked why he was doing that, he got embarrassed and said because they don't understand English.
That's funny.
Yep.
And concerning.
And this is all because I was busted by my wife, Amanda. And it's more than once. It's not like a one-time busting, like a one-time thing. I legit, my daughter Ruby's doll that she has, her little baby doll with a pacifier, if it's like laying down in a weird position or on its face, I'll turn it over. I'll put the passy in its mouth and I'll set it up on a chair or on our couch like it's sitting.
Okay.
And I do it like unintentionally. I guess it's intentionally.
I still think you're lonely.
You still think I'm lonely?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's lonesome or it's just the dad in me, maybe.
Maybe.
You know?
It's ingrained in you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, if you're listening, we appreciate it. And we want to tell you to listen tomorrow morning after 8 a.m. It's Hump Day Dump Day.
Yes. Well, you're either going to hump them or dump them live on the radio.
Right. That's basically what it is. All right. Hopefully everybody enjoyed today's podcast, a little eye-opening into our industry.
Maybe.
And hopefully, you know, your industry is changing too. The whole world's changing. And
may have sounded a little alarming.
See, I thought the conversation ended with us saying, and at the end of the day, we're going to survive.
Good. Yeah. Well, we'll find out.
All right. Thanks for listening, y'all.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.